Hello, dreamers. We're taking over tonight's midnight message. Tonight, we're telling you a different story. One the Lord's Council, the King, the Ministry of Rest don't want you to hear. A story of the people of Serem. A story of change, of revolution, of a new world that's coming. A world that we will make together. Our story begins in the nobles' district of Crescent Hill, in the city of Serem, in the shadow of the king's castle. We see a woman, Pashmina Myron, short in stature with broad shoulders. Her straight black hair is cut to her shoulders and held back from her face with a silver clasp. Her nose is hawk-like. Perhaps some would call it large for her face. Green eyes, olive complexion, and a small mouth with dark lipstick. She dresses well, betraying the nobility of her heritage. A large peacock blue scarf drapes her shoulders over a well-fitted jacket and slacks. She stands next to a carriage and sighs.
You would think, after all of this, after all this work and energy and planning and organization, I'd have more. And she looks.
And I think this gate, like, slams shut behind you. What's in your hands?
Technically a pair of gloves. But next to her is, like, 16 very nice boxes. They're trim. They're full of her favorite things. There's one that's, I would say, the largest box. It's actually in the shape of an instrument.
It's like a string instrument.
Bigger than her, yes.
And there's a manservant there of some kind standing there, like, also holding another one of these boxes.
Oh, yes. Right there in the cart. Make sure to stack them correctly on top. I have actually labeled them. The Latin letters are going to be near the top. They designate that they are lightest packages. And near the bottom are going to be, you know, commoner language. When you start recognizing words, put those near the top. And she's blatantly ignoring every. There is now at least three people who are loading her carriage. Somebody's in the horse already. And she's like, this is where I am. This is what you wanted. This is what strong, upstarting women do. I'll be back. I'll be back. And she's at this point now talking, not to anyone around her again, mm-hmm. but to the actual building. Mm-hmm. And she's waving her fist. And at that point, they lightly suggest she goes into the cart because at this point she is making a scene. And so she gets on the cart and she takes one long look. She particularly looks towards the eastern wing, but all the curtains are closed. And with that, she closes her own curtain. And she takes out a small vial from the inside of her jacket and she dabs a little of it on a handkerchief and she just dots it on her eyes and then leans back as they take her and they double check the address because they weren't exactly sure this was correct. But no, they're taking her to Five Irons.
The carriage winds its way through Serem, our city, the place where our story lives and breathes. We see the peak of Castlemount District, where the domed roofs of the king's castle looms over even the nobles of Crescent Hill. The buildings here are large manors, walled off each with their own private world. Brightly painted, large glass windows let in the light of the later afternoon, with eaves decorated in intricate geometric patterns. As the carriage moves through the city, the large manors give way to denser housing. The buildings become rows of terraced homes and stacked apartments, still brightly painted with terracotta roofs, though the color is darkened by soot and dirt. We follow the carriage past the large stone walls that once surrounded the entirety of the city, but now stand as little more than history and division, a slim protection against the dangers of the edgelands beyond the city. Finally, the carriage makes its way to an address in the district of Five Irons. Rows of repurposed train cars lie on abandoned tracks, once the heart of trade and business. The carriage finally stops in front of one particular train car. Though well used, it is somewhat less dilapidated than many of those around it. A scrap of orange fabric hangs by the door, the white symbol of a snake in a glass bottle clearly displayed, indicating the doctor is in.
Pashmina actually double checks. She like is kind of like awoken as the carriage kind of slows on the gravel and yes, hears the crunch.
Excuse me, miss. We're here. We've arrived.
Yes. And she like opens her eyes and she pulls out a piece of paper with a handwritten address on it. And then also above is just a safe place. She closes it, the piece of paper, folding it very gently into half and then half again. And then she steps out of the cart, once again taking out her handkerchief and putting it lightly over her face as she looks around and she sees the snake oil
There's
logo.
There's certainly an aroma here.
Smog.
That's part of it.
And she's familiar with this area because her family's textile company does do its work from here, paying, I would like to point out, very, very livable wages.
Do you mean livable in the sense that they're
technically still alive? They're alive, correct.
Yeah, yeah, okay. There's a moment where Pashmina stands in front of this cart and pauses, and we, as the audience, will transition inside. And inside, we meet another individual. What is happening? What does it look like inside this cart?
I think this is like a series of carts. So the first one is kind of, it's the waiting room, operating rooms, everything's there. So like the first like third of it is like been opened up. There's probably seating. There are really old found couches there, probably, and odd chairs.
Maybe like wooden stools.
Mm-hmm. There isn't really a desk to see anybody. It's just an open room and then a series of walls and curtains that kind of lead into like a patient's like, where probably the doctors, multiple perhaps, would see people between mm-hmm. curtains and walls. Mm-hmm. And that's about it. It's very simple and it's all within one train cart, so it's very narrow.
It's kind of like maybe like a former sleeper car that's mm-hmm. on the walls.
Yeah, so like a narrow hallway that leads down to these separate rooms where mm-hmm. people are waiting to be seen.
You step inside, there's no person to greet you. There's no like receptionist. There's probably mm-hmm. a couple of people like sitting in some of the chairs. There's maybe like a small child who's like kind of running around messing and touching things and like
Don't.
Runs up to you and like and pulls their hand away as you just say that.
Correct.
People look at you. Like there's like two or three people in this sort of waiting room area.
I'm going to put on, I'm going to use one of my social abilities of demeanor of command.
Okay.
What that just means is for 1 hour, they just understand that I'm important and I have authority. And I have no goal of like telling anyone to do anything except for that child not to touch me. It's just the goal is to be important. It is like a breath. It is something that she always does before a business meeting, before favors are traded.
So go ahead and spend your 2 intellect points.
I have 1 edge, so it's only going to cost 1.
Yep, costs 1 intellect
It's an
point.
Action, but I don't think I have to do a roll, correct?
No, for this, it would only be a roll opposed, right? If you were trying to get something out of someone, then I would have you roll to try and convince them. But you just kind of exude this sense of confidence and command. And I think for these people, like, they are... while they may not like you, they certainly respect that you are someone they should not mess with. That you are have a certain amount of importance that they are not afforded.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's a lot of in the big, very fluffy scarf she wears and just the way she walks. And she mm-hmm. actually ignores the line and just walks down the hallway. And she's very, like, purposefully metering her steps so that they are audible. Mm-hmm. And they are a little bit probably louder than they usually are.
Click of some very nice
There's
heels.
Probably a little bit of metal put on the back heel mm-hmm. just to get a little bit louder.
She like is cultivating that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And she's going to try to just find where she's met this person before.
At the end of the hallway, the curtain on one of the examination rooms remains drawn. Inside it is V. They are tall and wiry, long black hair that is always kept in a top knot. Their face is round with large gray eyes and light tan skin. Their grin betrays their history. Their teeth sharp, pointed, and distinctly shark-like. They're dressed practically, loose harem pants, long sleeves, and a gray cloak. They're adorned with belts and pouches full of mysterious trinkets and tools.
And you hear some talking. And you hear the mumbling. It's like, okay, well, you know, it looks like the checkup is good. You're no longer bleeding. We don't have to amputate any more of your arm. Nothing, the infection isn't spreading. You just take this, go home, and you'll be fine. It'll be totally fine. It worked last time. You're fine now, right? And that's what happens when you stick your arm in the wood chipper and you come to me. I can only save so much of it.
Okay, well, are you sure it'll be fine?
Yes, yes. It doesn't hurt anymore. There's no swelling. And
they said it would be fine. You should take the doctor's advice. And at that point, Pashmina opens the curtain.
And the person, noticing your demeanor of command, just sort of looks at you and looks at V, and they're like, okay, doctor.
It's okay. It's okay. No, it's fine. And if I have this trained skill of putting people at ease.
I don't think at this point you need to. They're not.
Like, yeah, they're not that serious. Okay,
go about to panic. Like, but like you definitely.
It's okay. And as I'll talk them down, it's like, no, just go home and take the medicines like we talked about. And okay. Then check back within 2 weeks. You're going to be fine.
All right. No more hands in limbs in
please
chippers.
Don't. No matter what you dropped in it.
Oh, but it was very important. It was my wedding ring.
I know. Do we ever get, but it's here now. You just can't wear it on the hands. See what happens? You gotta make your choices. Yes.
I guess.
Yes. You made a choice.
I take this. It's not even like a gold band. Like this is, you know, it's
all crunched up
metal. That's like crunched up. They did rescue their wedding ring. And then, you know, they're now missing several fingers.
But at least your devotion was true. So I don't know. It's probably a wonderful characteristic. You should just keep that. It's fine. And just kind of escorts you down the hall.
You heard them out of the room and, they disappear off. We notice, and Pashmina, perhaps you notice, like no payment or anything was ever exchanged.
I would like to propose a small amount of time for me to stay in the habitable location you have
hospital.
Here.
It's a hospital.
No, I hear that you have an extra cart.
Can't you stay with your family? What happened?
No.
What?
No. I cannot stay there.
I thought everything worked out.
It was a mutual decision for me to leave the Myron estate.
We flash back for a moment as the audience. There's
fire and more fire.
And it's screaming on fire. And fire.
Screaming. There's police. There's more fire. There's gunshots.
There's those spinning newspapers and then it slams and it's just like, Myron estate involved in arson?
And we flash forward to Pashmina's
estate. Pashmina, are you okay? You went somewhere.
I have a little bit of money aside. I'd like to put forward a year's worth of renting in that location. And I probably won't use it for that amount of time, but real estate is always something to put money into. It's always going to be worth value.
If you need help and somewhere to stay, just follow me. Follow me.
Okay. Good.
And V like stands up, kind of hunched about, goes around down the hall farther, opens the doors of the second cart. And this is kind of this other cart that they've kind of been keeping. There's not.
I imagine this
they
is
stay like they stay in one of the carts.
Yeah,
in one
he
of the
lives
rooms.
In one of the rooms, and then the rest of them are like in various states of disrepair.
And it is not great looking, but it also could be so much worse.
No, there is.
Doesn't smell as bad in here.
It really doesn't, and not all the windows are broken.
Well, they know better. They don't just come and mess with the hospital. I take care of them, so they take care of me. So it's like a nice arrangement.
You do great work.
Thank you. But you're welcome to stay. You don't have to pay me. It's fine. I'm just helping you out.
Oh, no, no, no. There will be payment.
Don't worry about anything else. We'll talk about it later. But just get comfortable. Any of these rooms are yours.
Great. And perhaps we can create a contract for this over. Do you guys take your afternoon wine hour? Is that still at 5 o'clock here?
No.
Well, V, crack to it then. And I think with that, she goes out the nearest door and she sees the cart has already left, as is half the boxes.
Yeah, they dropped off most of them.
The ones you could read.
And I think she spends the next 15 minutes trying to figure out how to get the base inside the doors.
And this bee's like, do you need help?
No. Yeah. I mean, currently I will figure it out. I have taken 3 physics classes and I assume by making a pulley system, I shall be able to lift it.
And as she's talking about this, V just comes up, just listens for a minute and then just go thing over there, just pick it up with her and just
they get it
while
through.
She's still spieling the whole way.
It's simple. You only have 5 kinds of simple machines. So
yes.
In this case, it wouldn't be great if we got let me think of the commonest term. A swing saddle, a teeter-totter. We have to just make a teeter-totter.
I like the roof on the top of this train, so we're doing none of those.
You say this like as you put the base in your room.
The room that we've claimed. Yes.
Okay. Now I have some bleeding that I must stop. Is everything okay?
Yes. Again, we'll negotiate contracts.
Yes. Just waves.
Via, you're as pleasant as always, and when you enter a room, I feel like it becomes three times as intelligent.
You become nice in the very strangest ways, Pashmina.
I'm losing a lot of this stuff. A lot of this stuff's inside of me. I'm losing it.
Yeah, I told you to hold. Put it. Pressure.
Okay.
Pressure.
But it hurts.
Give yourself the hardest hug you've given in your life.
Okay, I'll try.
V leaves the carriage back into the hospital. And Pashmina, what are you going to do now?
Yes, and I think Pashmina is going to just pick up all the boxes she can and load them into, because I think the sleeping cart has two beds in it, and so
yeah,
one's going to
be
completely
bunk,
yeah, bunk. It's going to be completely full, and then the other side, she's going to choose the top bunk, and she's going to put out all the textiles that she, like blankets and perhaps some heavy jackets, and she's going to lay that out. She's going to throw out whatever mattress was there, because if it's not down, then what is the point? And then I think she is going to retire until hunger grabs at her, or it is wine hour.
Down the road a short way from V's, we find the professor. He is solidly built, though lean. An older man with a graying black bushy mess of hair like a thorn bush atop his head, with a matching mustache above his lip. He is dressed in a well-worn, tight-fitting brown corduroy trousers with knee pads, and a pair of broken glasses tied to a chain around his neck. A bright baby blue bow tie adorns his neck. His pockets jingle with vials and charms, while the faint scent of incense lingers in the air around him.
There is a in the train car area, kind of like a little bit more towards where there's a little more like businesses and places. Mm-hmm. You see a trash can just kind of staying there, and like it starts shaking. The lid of the trash can flies off. The trash can tips over. Three cats come running out of it. The professor's chasing them with a bag. When he rounds the corner, there are two cats on his shoulder, mm-hmm. one clinging to the top of his head. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to gather these other two cats. Mm-hmm. So they get scared of his presence. So he lays down some fish mm-hmm. snacks. And he's like, come here, come on down. It's fine. Come here. Hey, come look at your friends out here. Come on down. Come. Now, don't do that.
One of the ones on your shoulder takes claws in.
Don't take that tone with me. You're upsetting Mittens. Mittens, please. No. Listen. Excellent tone. You've been working. Come here, Karen. And he reaches out and he just like gently pets Karen's.
Gives you that cat face where they like scrunch up their like head and shoulders while you pet them, but they don't go anywhere.
Immediately, the professor holds his hand down so lets him smell.
Bites your hand.
Yep. That's right.
Smells it. Licks it, bites it. Like all in that order.
Okay, well. And then I just put a small little leash on the cat and grab it and tie it to my hand. The other cat gets away. But the professor is he's essentially got three cats on his
three
person,
mm-hmm.
one on a leash, mm-hmm. and a bag full of produce.
And where's he headed?
I was going to see V.
Alright. You walk down the remainder of the sort of gravel section mm-hmm. between the train cars, you find the one with the flag, snake oil. Do you walk in? How does he approach?
Oh, the professor knocks on the door, the secret knock that V knows mm-hmm. That I have company, but not the company that's going to be troubling to us, the company that people might be allergic to in a medical institution, so I want to drop off a gift for you. So it goes, knock, 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 knock. There are cats! Knock, knock. There you go. That guy. Okay.
Charleston. I think V is about to. I was like, okay, well, move out of the way for a second. Let me someone out. Bless patience of the day. And opens out. And it's the parent and kid, the person who was coughing. And their kid's like, ah! It's like, kitties!
Okay, hey, these are science kitties.
Oh.
And I lean down, and there's the one on my left shoulder. And he leans over. It's the most playful one. It's the youngest one. It's a little nervous, a little bashful. And leans over, gets down on a knee. Just pet this one.
The kid just pets the cat, like in the way that you shouldn't pet cats.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-huh. No. I grab the kid's hand. Gentle.
Oh, okay.
Like this. They're living creatures. They feel things and they get scared and they can't comprehend things the way you do.
Oh.
So you treat them well and they'll treat you well.
Okay.
Try again. One more time.
Oh, all right. And the kid gently, like, reaches his hand, slow enough for the cat to, like, sniff it. And then this cat's like...
He likes you.
Scratches by the ear. Oh, it's so soft. This is really cool. Wow! And just runs away. The kid runs away, and the parent's like coughing. He's like, come on.
The one cat on the leash is trying to chase after that kid to kill him, for sure. I have the cat is like on my leg. I'm stepping on the leash, so it can't actually go and attack this kid. I'm collecting samples.
Samples?
Yes. Do you have any jars that I can that would contain, like, 4 or 5 separate jars to contain the urine?
No, but you can fill it with urine.
Wait, what?
You can do that yourself, but I can give you the jars.
I think you have that moment where you realize me thought you were asking for jars of urine not jars for urine.
I see the confusion. No, it's not for my urine, it's for theirs. And this is just gesturing to the hole in me. There's a cat already peeing on my shoulder a little bit.
I don't need urine. I have plenty available.
There's going to be urine. Making my rounds.
Yes, Professor. One second.
Thank you.
Come aside. Okay. Our friend is here. Oh, your friend? I'm not sure, but ooh, your friend for sure. And it's like, while they're digging, he's like, Pashmina's back there.
Pashmina's here.
Yeah, I thought that was very strange too.
Professor, you haven't seen Pashmina in at least a week.
Since
flashback, fire explosions,
screaming cops, gunshots.
That was the last time you saw Pashmina, and she's normally at you normally work for her.
Where is she?
That's in the back in the house car, the sleeping car. She's been working. I think it's wine hour. I didn't really understand. Like, do you just complain for an hour?
The professor takes a second and thinks, because he knows that if Pashmina's here and that she's staying with us, something has gone down. Just that way, right? In the back car?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Like, in that bag, there's a beautiful green apple for you.
Oh, thank you.
Please take as much as you
always
want.
These lovely gifts, Professor. Thank you.
The professor goes.
So you head over to the sleeping car.
The professor knocks on the door.
You may come in.
The professor opens the door. So, you're here.
Yes. Pashmina, close the book and put it aside and, like, as graceful as she can, step down the steps to see Professor. And Professor is quite a bit taller than Pashmina, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. As you walk over, even the scarier cat on the leash now all climb onto my shoulders and back. Mm. They are a little intimidated by you for some reason. You're staying here.
I felt that the Myron estate was a little bit too old school, if you will.
They kicked you out, didn't they?
Allegedly. Decisions were made. I simply look to the future with a reevaluation of every decision I've made in the past.
The professor sets the cups down immediately on the table, the urine sample cups.
They have no urine in it yet,
Sits down on next to the table with you, pours a glass of wine into your cup. Tell me what happened.
And I think they do. I think it's a long conversation. I think it covers, because I think there was a point after the night, fire, all that, where they went separate ways. You got arrested.
Yes.
And then within 4 hours, you were free. It's surprisingly easy to convince the Vanguard that they have the wrong man if you have the right amount of copper. I think you're a stronger asset to me outside of prison than inside. You owe me. But I believe we're going to have a lovely working relationship. And I think with that, she takes the wine and just like...
That's the urine cup!
And then V is just there like, oh, wine! I thought you all just sat around and complained the entire time.
And what time is dinner served in the cart?
If you come to my car, I'm making beans.
What's the sign?
More beans.
Mm.
He gets up with his cats. The cats are not having this. He now reeks of cat urine.
Yes.
But he pours you an extra, a little bit more, sets the bottle down.
I think I will think to retire for the evening. She just drinks the drink very slowly and says their salutations. And Professor.
Yes.
If you need somebody with my expertise, do call me.
The professor bids adieu.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he opens the door, V, you want to help me get these urine out of this cats?
Sure, I'm not doing anything else right now.
Perfect.
Eventually, they all head to sleep. And just like you, dreamers, and everyone else in this city, they find themselves in the dream. We all know this place, the place we are in now. The collective unconscious world shared, created, and experienced by all those who sleep in Seirem. though we go here every night, so little is known about how it functions. Though, there are a gifted few who can manipulate this space. Weavers, we call them. And each night, at midnight, the Ministry of Rest, who is here to ensure we have a restful night's sleep, employs their weavers to send us the midnight message, their empty words and propaganda. But that night, they and many others in Five Irons did not experience the midnight message. Rather, it was something stranger, much more dreamlike, anxious, and surreal.
Is this halfway, like, could I use my dream weaving to adjust my area around me?
Yes.
Okay, so it is still possible to mess with the dream. There's just a force that...
If you do not have the ability to control or manipulate the dream, you are subject to the whims of those who can.
Right.
So if you are an average person, not a weaver, when the Ministry of Rest does whatever it is they want to do, that is what you experience. If you are a weaver, you can manipulate your area around you. It's going to be harder, right? You're almost having pressure exerted from the outside, so your area would be even smaller than it might otherwise be.
Okay.
But... yeah, you would definitely notice.
Because normally I just make my area like into like a very nice office.
And I think you feel, I think in that case, right, for you, Pashmina, because you normally manipulate it, right, you kind of push out the midnight message. You like to make it a very restful space for yourself as a weaver. You probably, instead of experiencing this strange, soupy dream that everyone else is going to experience, you would feel a slightly different sort of pressure from the outside. There's sort of still the pressure of the ministry, but there's a different pressure there, something that you wouldn't normally experience. And knowing that, do you do anything this evening while you are asleep?
I think what I'm going to do, because your character, Professor, and V... are both in the space around me.
Relatively nearby.
Mm-hmm. I think, and I could probably see their presence.
Yeah, I think in dream logic, like, they're outside of your office, but you can kind of vaguely make out what's going on there if you choose to focus on it.
I'm just going to automatically assume the Ministry of Rest just messes with this district a little bit higher than the Noble District. Like, I think they might be, like, from my perspective, and so this might be like a, no, this is not actually true, but I think my character believes, well... the Crescent Hill obviously gets the performances and the latest operas, and perhaps they just make you feel like going back to work in Five Irons. So
you think the ministry targets the message differently in different districts because you've never been there before. And so that's what that different pressure is. That's not just the ministry. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to kind of like move through and just... kind of trick in with these two dream people and just make sure they're not... I think so
when
what
you
it might
leave the space that you've manipulated, you immediately step out into that dream soup that's happening.
Yes.
So you kind of leave your mystical office and like you know open the door, close the door, and now you're like in front of an audience and you look down and you're not like wearing all of your clothes.
Oh no.
And like, you sort of fix that.
You had like big blue scarf. I think in this space, she looks more like a woven tapestry of that blue peacock. And so it's harder to see her face, but you can see her eye, and she kind of like drifts. She doesn't really have legs. She just kind of moves.
You're just like a moving piece of fabric. A little like a Journey character.
Yeah, kind of like a Journey character. And I think she's just going to like, is Professor, like actually Professor, just an anxious dream?
Yeah, Professor, everybody's dream self is some version of themselves.
The Professor is essentially, he's the same exact version of himself. He is in his underwear and he is giving a lecture. So the circle of life.
He's a shark.
Okay, I have a very important question though. Are you like a cartoon sort of talking shark?
Like a Jabberjaw?
Just like
a regular jaw.
Like full on shark.
Like, is it a vertical shark that just hops? Like, or like, is it a
vertical floating?
I want to say like a shark with his little like walky feet.
It's like a shark puppy.
It's a shark puppy, but it's like a big shark head. It's like stubby legs. It's like, so it's just sitting there. It's just like mouth open, kind of panting with its shark teeth at you. Everything looks fine.
So, Pashmina, you go back into your office space and...
I mean, I can't see why she'd continuously be curious. It seems okay. Like the propaganda is awful here. It really isn't being effective. And the Ministry of Rest needs to redouble down on what they're doing, because obviously people are not working hard enough in their sleep here.
The rest of the night passes. You all wake up. At some point, that sort of strange dream ended, but it persisted, I think, for a while, like beyond during the midnight message. While you physically feel rested, there's, you know, that thing when you wake up with a weird dream, like there's that like gross feeling in the pit of your stomach where you're just like, oh, what was real and what was not real?
The professor gets out of bed. He's in the same underwear he wasn't in the dream. And he opens the front door. Three of the cats go out. The other one does not. It stays there. It is in a cage. Professor goes through the town usually to check the health of the animals. So he does a urine samples. This particular one came back a little not great. So he is maintaining it for observation, because clean, like healthy cats make sure that they take care of the rats, which helps the ecosystem around here. But the professor does open up the door, puts on a robe. The robe, there's an engraving on it, and it says 2S. And he ties it on, walks out the door, no shoes, knocks on V's.
I think this was before anyone usually shows up in the morning, so we're just hanging out in the waiting room together.
Pashuna will be there.
The professor comes over, he does a little, you know, pulls out an onion.
Is it a sweet onion?
Oh! Bites into it like an apple. I start watering.
And yes, it is a sweet onion.
V is like, watches like, ugh. This gives you the apple.
He takes another bite out of the onion.
Pashmina, you hear like a slight commotion, I think, outside of your
I think Pashmina didn't sleep as restlessly as she normally does, so she got up early, she put on her gear, and I think with what she had left, she got like a loaf of bread. The nicest bread, sweet bread she could find. Mm-hmm. So it's probably one of those like pull-aparts. And then I think she's walking back, she ate about half of it, and she sees what's going on.
You have a little like rough cooking area, right? Like, do you have?
I think so. Yeah. So like there's little probably cleared out area in like the living cart. That's probably
for sure.
Prep.
Yeah.
For
so you're maybe going back to your room and you walk past them and they're sitting around a table. They're cooking. The professor is cooking.
It's my turn today.
I think Pashmina pauses.
Care to join us?
No, but I did. I do have this leftover. So, and she just kind of like sets it out and like unwraps it.
Is it just like one piece of one?
No, I think it's like half of it. It's half of the pull apart because she doesn't eat that much.
That's half the pull apart.
Thank you.
Yes. Both of you are odd in your sleep.
What?
Adjust that.
What? How did you, how do you know what we look like in our dreams? Are you a weaver? You're a weaver. Wow.
Yes.
This is fascinating. Can I have a blood sample?
Walking quietly, another figure heads towards V's. He enters almost silently, at first not even noticed by the others. Pretty Baby has a youthful appearance, soft features and a symmetrical face. His deep brown eyes are large and sleepy, his lips full and pouty, his skin a warm dark brown. He wears his hair in twists with red tips pulled into a short ponytail. He stands with a slouch, relaxed posture in his baggy, dull gray jumpsuit.
Just eating some snacks.
Do you want some breakfast?
I appreciate the offer, but I've already eaten for the morning. There's something quite different here.
Pretty Baby. Yes, it's Pashmina.
I think Pashmina holds out a hand. It's lovely to see you again.
Yes. That was not the thing I was referring to. There's an abundance of cats around lately, I have noticed. Oh. The second thing is, what is the former client doing back here? Is there another job that we have taken on?
The former client, Pashmina, is...
I'm in a reevaluation of assets.
She's staying with us because her family kicked her out.
I was going to say, it's amazing how you say so many words yet say nothing at the same time. Well, if you need my assistance or expertise, you know where to find me.
Did you have a weird dream last night?
Definitely weirder than usual.
Very weird.
I was stuck in the shark body, in my usual shark thing, but for some reason I couldn't move and I was very hungry and I couldn't do anything about it. It was the worst feeling in the world.
I taught volcanoes.
Ah, so I guess we've all had that experience then.
The midnight message and the, you know.
Oh, you guys get the midnight message here.
Yes, why wouldn't we? There's usually the weird musical numbers and talking about how amazing the king and the queen are and how everything's
very true.
Good and...
Mm-hmm.
She's a weaver.
Oh, and she is staying... Huh, interesting. A word, please.
With me?
No.
Oh.
But yes.
Let's step outside.
The faster.
Yeah.
Yes, V.
The three of them leave you.
I think that she's just like...
With the bread.
I think she's going to talk to the cat. Be like, they usually get the midnight message here. But yesterday they didn't, which means...
As we move outside to the three of you standing outside the door.
Pretty baby is now eating an apple. My friends, I'm quite confused about the purpose of Pashmina staying here. I feel like after the... events that have transpired a while back, it would be in our best interest to remain somewhat low-key and under the radar. However, I feel like having her here, nonetheless, someone who's also a Weaver being amongst us would only draw more attention and possibly ire towards our direction.
But where else would she go?
Well, I believe she is a person of many privileges, as well as many resources at her disposal. I am simply just vocalizing my concern with her presence.
I understand your concerns. I owe Pashmina, and she is here because I gave her this address. I am the reason she was she. She took the blame. She got me out of trouble. And I would probably not be alive today if it wasn't for her. So in this instance, I owe her and I will take all responsibilities.
That explains the kind gesture that does not take away the potential threat that she brings to us. However,
you are correct.
I do not wish to persuade you both from doing otherwise. I know you are both kind folk.
Thank you for sharing your concerns with us, pretty baby. Mm. We will keep those in mind. I only offer the train because that is simply what I do. I think Pashmina deserves a chance.
Oh, who am I to deny that? Well... I guess we shall return back.
The three of you return back inside. Pashmina, you have been talking to a cat.
That's what we have to do. Because otherwise we are going to have the Ministry of Rest bring the Vanguard and we're going to start looking through how.
Are you talking to the cat?
It's listening to me.
This is like go immediately licking its butt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the cat's licking its butt.
You have an untrained, young, very inexperienced weaver somewhere in Five Irons. And that is dangerous for perhaps all of us. It's very easy to make the dream unwoven if you don't know what you're doing. Imagine you're using a loom, and every time you loom, you're putting a new thread through and you're switching it and you're kind of making a picture. Now, the dream as we know it is made by the Ministry of Rest, and all of them together each have their own spindles and their own tools, and together they make a glorious tapestry thanks to the king. However, pockets of that tapestry can become unwoven simply because a very young dreamweaver goes at it with no skill. Imagine taking a pair of scissors to one section of the tapestry. You cut the string, everything becomes undone. I believe this untrained weaver has no idea what they're doing. And that break in the tapestry will only grow. And if it gets big enough, the Vanguard will be knocking on doors.
So you're able to see the tapestry.
I can feel it. It's more like when you... And I think at this point she takes out her scarf and she just takes his hand and like feels like I can feel the weaves. I can feel the threads. I don't know where the threads came from or where they're going, but I can feel that they're together. It's either somebody is forcibly destroying the weave or somebody just no idea what they're doing, which is more likely.
Pretty baby raises his hand. if I may.
Please.
And I do not intend to... second guess your expertise on the matter.
I appreciate
it. But what makes you so sure that it is rather than an inexperienced individual as opposed to someone who's actively trying to sabotage something that maybe the Ministry of Sleep is putting together, or rather a mistake on their behalf, I mean.
The Ministry of Rust does not make mistakes. I think it is somebody who is untrained, and more importantly, if the Vanguard starts searching for somebody who is... destroying the dream, then they will start looking through every house. And I think it's in our best interest to do some investigating.
The jacks also will never be a good thing in Five Irons.
Yeah.
In our best interests, she said.
My apologies. I did not mean to stumble upon any disrespect.
Oh, there is no disrespect, but rather I feel there is a misunderstanding of whether or not this is an issue or something that we are actively taking upon ourselves and getting involved with, or merely just exchanging information just so we are aware of what is happening. If taking action is on the table, then I would have to say that we are very outmatched. Not to mention, we are already taking in one weaver outside of the Ministry of Sleep to look for another, an experienced weaver who's already very much in danger, not knowing if the Ministry has already located them, and we haven't even begun to even start looking. How do we even proceed?
Think about it this way. If the Ministry of Rest finds this child, what do you think will happen to them? You think they'll have a choice?
Not many people that live here do have choices to begin with. I am unfortunately sad to say that. I feel this is way outside of our pay grade.
But this is our home. This is Five Irons.
And Pretty Baby, I believe if your assets are not strong enough to support our mission in this statement, that is completely fine. You must take care of your own livelihood first. And I would encourage, if you have spare assets, to join me in this.
It's Cassiel.
My apologies.
And my friend, it is not that I lack the ability to help, but rather I was not raised with the luxury of simply cutting my losses and moving on after running headstrong into a situation I was not fully prepared for. Granted, I hope you do understand the severity of your situation now that you no longer have the resources you've once had before. The game is now different. Now, if we could move forward, what would you suggest as a way to locate or somehow pinpoint where or whom this person might be?
I think I can search within the dream. If I can get a smaller location, I can do a more rigorous search. I can move quickly and I can pinpoint. Perhaps not a person, because people look different in the dream than they do in real life. But I can find an essence and tell them to find me. And then from there, figure this out. All weavers either need to have a permit or need to work for the Ministry of Rest. It was a privilege that I passed the permit after rigorous training. And as long as I do not interfere with the midnight message, I can continue having my space. If it is thought that I am the one who is messing with the midnight message, there could be an argument that I lose my permit. So I think I'm going to put more eggs in this basket of a problem.
At what age were you granted your permit to exist as a weaver?
I started. I used to...
You get a training license, probably.
I
right? Whenever you first discover your powers, and then you can get an actual license permit at, like...
Yeah, like I think 16, probably. You probably have to pass your test. Yeah. There's, like, a rigorous test that you have to do, with like maybe a week of being in the ministry and doing your test. But I started to understand the weave 12, and it took about 6 months of rigorous training, and then I got my training permit.
Now, unless the alleged... youth you mentioned is some sort of anomaly, we have some idea of what age they might be.
But when we find them, what do we do? I mean, I don't think the Ministry of Rest will train them out of the goodness of their own hearts, no.
No, it's education as a means to control.
Correct. They will not leave the Ministry
of
Rest.
You're seeking, so if we choose to come looking for this child, we're going to try to protect them?
Or tell them to leave Five Irons for their best interest.
A lot of people here don't have the means to just leave Five Irons.
I'm the doctor in this region. I can easily go about and ask people if they've had a terrible night's sleep and begin to home in. If what you say, we at least within... I can do a few rounds and at least figure out the radius in which this dream is like at least originating from and figure it out from there.
The professor is sitting at this table listening to all of this. And he's sipping from a mug, probably coffee. So professor sits there, lifts the mug to his mouth, and just looks perplexed, and looks over his left shoulder to Pashmina. Why do you want to help? I know why we want to help. But what's in it for you?
Self-preservation.
Is that all that matters?
Today.
It's just because you want to take care of yourself.
At some point, everyone's got to take care of themselves.
V and Pretty Baby head out into the district of Five Irons, V on their usual doctor's rounds, the two of them asking questions, hoping to point the direction towards the wayward dreamer.
So, how do you feel about this right now? You're down to help us? Normally you're more interested in the jobs, but this is different.
Oh, I really did feel the sentiment of your words. We are doing this for the benefit of the people, so why not?
Well, I'm glad you're here.
The feeling is mutual, my friend. However, I feel Pashmina might be a weak link in all of this.
That's possible. I will not burden you with the idea that she deserves a second chance.
Oh, I am completely unburdened. You and the professor have completely taken that yoke upon yourselves. But then again, as you said, you trust me, and I trust you and the professor as well. So, lead the way.
Onwards.
Well, I would like the two of you to roll something, basically to see if you can piece together some clues and some details.
Okay.
So which one of you would like to lead the roll and then the other one can help?
I'm
Pretty Baby and V.
Ooh, yeah, I want
to. Do you have any skills that are relevant for identifying details or noticing patterns?
Do I?
Yes, that's my question. Do you?
I do.
Excellent. So I was going to say this is a standard task, which is 6 or higher that you need to roll. So this will drop it down 1, 2, 3 or higher you need to roll.
Okay.
And then V, what would you be doing?
I think looking through the skills as we're piecing them together, clues, I think because of the skills of having putting at ease and gaining trust, specifically gaining trust, I have to be attentive to people in order for them to feel listened to, and therefore give me more information.
Okay. I think let's make that, because it sounds like you're both on sort of even training, let's make it the +1 from helping. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and make your roll.
All right.
I need you to beat a 3 or higher, but add +1 to whatever it is you roll.
That's the one I rolled the one on earlier, and I was like,
yeah,
I'm keeping this one.
Why did you pick that one?
Because it got the one out of the system earlier.
No, it didn't, clearly.
Well, that's because we've been, okay.
So I'm going to say, you whiffed it. You rolled 1 with a +1 for a 2 total.
I get a free GM intrusion.
Yeah, give me one of those.
Roll a 1. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah, what's up?
We're gonna put this GM intrusion on a little bit of a delayed timer.
Great.
Okay.
Just a wee bit of a delayed timer.
I noticed that.
Which is that you don't piece anything together.
Okay.
Like, whatever it is, whenever people say these things like, V, you're too focused on something else. Pretty Baby, you're kind of struggling, I think, maybe in these social situations.
When I said I was unyoked of the burden of having Pashmina, what I actually meant was, I'm going to have to figure this out.
You're very distracted, and you don't piece this piece of information together. So you will be walking into this situation a little blind.
They do eventually narrow their search to a specific building in Five Irons, a small set of stacked apartments where those of not very much means may call it home. Back at Railcare, the professor and Pashmina are getting to know each other.
There is a lot of smoke, purple smoke, coming from the professor's cabin, I guess, where you do hear some sounds. You hear a little bit of an unhappy cat. And the professor comes out the door, walks into the main hospital cabin, then to go around to Pashmina's, knocks on the door.
One moment, please. And you can hear a little bit more shuffling, and then the doors open. Pashmina's still wearing her business suit, which is gray and gray with like shoes and her big blue scarfs on. So the less candles now, but the window is open. Sure, gets more air. Oh, hello. Do we have an appointment?
I just came to bring you something. And the professor drops this, like, as a small little bag, a little burlap wrapped bag. It's essentially what is a mix of various herbs from outside the wall, as well as some jasmine, as well as, like, lavender. And it's essentially a sleeping aid.
Oh.
I don't know if this will help. I'm pretty uneducated when it comes to weavers. But that helps me sleep.
Thank you. This was very useful to the task. Thank you so much. I think she just puts it in next, you know, she like gets up and she tries to put it on the upper bunk.
Well, I'll let you get to it.
Actually, I have some goods to trade. And how far of a walk is it to the edges of the merchant market.
Now, are you talking about like the actual merchant market or a merchant market in Five Irons?
No, an actual merchant market.
Yeah, you're pretty far away from that one. You are not in the right. Like, you need to go to an entirely different district. There are plenty of markets. They're just not. There's like several large ones.
I have some fine goods that need trading.
Well.
And so I don't know if Five Irons has a good understanding of the quality of these items.
I do know a couple places that might be able to fence those goods.
Pashmi doesn't want to ask for help, so she's awkwardly like, oh, well, I will collect my very small amount of things, and I will carefully walk alone, and I shall sell goods to whoever asks for goods, and then I will return as quietly as possible.
Way of asking for help where she just like speaks aloud her terrible plans until someone is like,
and
so
then
bad.
If I return, I will do so. I will do so with dignity and a heavy pocket of coins.
Do you help carrying things?
Yes. Do you want to? I will treat you to a lunch fare if you can help me.
Sounds like a deal.
That night, each of them head to sleep. And like the night before, there is no midnight message. Instead, they are greeted with a strange soup filled with anxiety. Pashmina Myron leaves her small, carefully constructed office within the dream and heads out, seeking the Weaver.
I know what block to look in, and I know that the dream is not exactly the same as the actual geographic map. So I'm going to use that as a direction. And mm-hmm. I'm also going to do some sort of roll to find the center point.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this is now me going to try to argue how easy it should be. Mm-hmm. I have...
Oh, okay, you want to tell me... No, see, what actually it is that I tell you the difficulty and then you make it easier
for
yourself.
Oh, then you tell me the difficulty.
That's how this works. So you would like to just directly locate the child
yes.
in the dream? Yeah, this person in the dream. I'm going to say this is difficult.
That's fine.
Yeah, which would be rolling a 12 or higher.
Well...
This is pretty difficult.
I do have the dream knowledge. I'm trained in that, so mm-hmm. knock it down. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get a bonus from their math.
Yes, I do think you have an asset that helps you in this instance, so we'll drop it down 2. So now you're rolling a 6 or higher.
And then I don't think I can dream. Can I dream weave? I guess that's not really what this is, because that's more about making a location.
Yeah.
And so once I get there, I can dream weave, but I can't really do so until then. So
you could also apply effort. You can apply a level of effort.
I will play a level of effort. Mm-hmm. My edge of intellect is 1, so I only am paying 2. Mm-hmm.
So it costs you 2 for that 1 level of effort. All right, so give me a roll. You've got 1 level of effort in here. So now you were at 6. Now you need to roll 3 or higher.
All right.
Last time it didn't go well. Let's see what happens this time.
17.
17. Beautiful. With a 17, you navigate yourself beautifully through this. If you want to kind of narrate any portion, but you will eventually find the epicenter of where this sort of strange aura essentially is emanating from.
I think what happens, and I've explained that in the dream, Pashmina appears to be a blue scarf kind of person. So mm-hmm. like there's definitely a hood that you can't see the face, and there's the wide shoulders, mm-hmm. and then there's a trail of it. So you can kind of...
Legitimately, I'm just seeing her as a blue version of a dream.
You're
character.
Not exactly wrong. and I think as...
In like a good way.
Yeah. I think as she moves... you start to hear when she tries to break apart the disturbance mm-hmm. of the dream, mm-hmm. I think it sounds like a low chord of a bow against a string mm-hmm. of a bass, and that kind of like cuts through the anxiety dream. So for a little bit, it looks normal and then it fades. I think Pashmina is trying to make a kind of statement to the center. She's not hiding her presence mm-hmm. so that when the person sees Pashmina, mm-hmm. they understand that like this is the person who controls the dream. So she's kind of trying to this demeanor of command inside this.
So go ahead and again, for this, you only need to pay the 1 point
because
you're at the edge of 1 for the cost. So you sort of stride through the dream effectively. And I think in some people's deep conscious subconsciousness, they would register your presence. Like if you really thought back to the dream experience, other people might remember it. But you eventually stride forward and find what is the center? And I think this is like, you see like seated at this small like wooden desk, like a school desk, like in sort of an empty room, just surrounded by people watching them. Like, and you imagine like this is a child or like a young adult with a teenager.
Do they look like a human?
Yeah, I think in yeah. here you notice like they have not really changed their visual representation the way people who kind of have a lot of control over the dream might manipulate it. They, and especially the younger you are, the more less your identity I think is solidified. So they're sort of vaguely human-like. You wouldn't be able to identify necessarily their gender or anything while they're in the dream. But they're like sitting at this desk with their sort of pen and ink and like trying to fill out some tasks, and they're just like looking at all these people around them being like, I'm trying, I don't know what I'm doing. And everyone's sort of surrounding them.
Oh.
These sort of shade-like figures are all imposing upon this person in the center of this bubble, and this aura of anxiety is clearly spreading out from them that your bow note is cutting through.
So I think Pashmina just walks in, and I think she just appears in front of this, like, obviously you do not know what you're doing.
I, of course I have no idea
what I'm
doing.
Put the pencil down.
You're like, the pencil hit the desk.
Take a deep breath now. These people don't exist.
What?
You can take them away.
They sort of like look around.
Who's your least favorite person in the world?
And like you see this this figure of like a teacher with probably like the ruler like in their hand. They just sort of like look out of the corner of their eye like.
Make them go away.
Can't. This is a dream. I can't do it.
And I think Pashmina takes a breath. See the dream and see the fibers. Now look at them again. Only think about, wouldn't it be great if they were not here right now?
You see this like very deep face of concentration as they're trying to, I think, parse through what you're saying and like also looking at this person. They don't want to be there. I do think you need to persuade them a little bit.
No, it's cool. My demeanor of a command allows... I can give a free level of effort that can be applied to one persuasion task you attempt. I have posited pleasant social interactions bonus and trained.
Okay.
And I'm trained right. in persuading.
Yep. All right, whatever. Yes. I was going to say this is a difficulty of 6, but you dropped it down by 3 with all of that stuff, so you're good. Mm-hmm. So I won't make you roll.
Thank you.
Unless you would like to. I'm going to say this to you, Claudia.
Get that 20.
I could get a 20.
I could also get a 1.
You could get a 1.
Get that 20 and do 4 points of damage.
I think I'm just going to persuade, and I'm going to put the caveat of if the person can't do it, she's going to do it. It's going to be one of those, like, they're going to think they can do it.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to just roll my yes-no dialogues. They're yeah. young and untrained. Let's give them a 50-50 shot. Yes. They do it. So they scrunch up their face with as much possible concentration as they have, and then the person disappears. The teacher is no longer there, and they're like, did I? And they're like pointing and looking, and then they look back at you and pointing.
Congratulations. What? You have the burden of being a weaver.
No, that's right. Not. Oh, that's bad. That's really bad. Oh, my mother's not going to be happy.
She moves her hand, and like, it's silence. I think it kind of, the lights go dim, and all the people are gone.
I wanted to see if Pashmina notices something.
Is it in the dream?
Yeah.
Okay. You need to come find me so we can figure out what we're going to do.
I can find you. Why do you find me?
I think she's going to look around to see if anybody is like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're trying to do a perception.
Yeah.
Would Pashmina look around?
I think...
Because you kind of did your wave your hand to manipulate the dream.
May so I like, put it this way? Mm-hmm. She's always going to put a bubble around herself to protect herself from the ministry. Can right. I just roll for the strength of that bubble right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so let's use your dream wave, which is essentially you can control an area around you within the dream. It will normally be like just a little bit more than immediate range, so it's kind of you and maybe a few other people.
Yeah, and I can make it bigger with concentration.
Yeah, if you play effort, you can make it bigger. But for you, it's one intellect point, which I think makes that ability free with
yes.
your edge. So I'm going to have you go ahead and roll.
Okay.
Let's just do this, and then I will count all of your bonuses. Let's just count each of them as a +3 to your roll.
That sounds great.
What are you using in this instance?
I think what happens is when she dims... You can see along the ground there's like a thin blue piece of yarn that kind of coils from the end of her scarf
like
as like a protective barrier to kind of like... And from the outside, it looks like there's nothing here. Like it looks like a normal part of the dream.
Right.
Okay.
So what skills do you have to apply to this?
Dreamweave, obviously, is just the ability to let
the
me
ability
do
to
it.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. I have knowledge of the dream.
Yep.
Okay. And then that's it, I think.
You are using a special ability to influence minds, I think, in this instance.
Oh, and so, because yep, you're right.
Being is influencing minds. So
thank you. So then I have
to. So add six to whatever you roll.
But do know that, like, and I hate to like, give you this, what ability.
What abilities do you have?
I have an inability of defense against mental attacks.
It's okay. You're not being attacked right now.
Okay, cool.
Right
I like
now?
That.
Right now? That's right good. Now?
Well, because I'm like, eventually we're going to have like a Magneto Xavier
they'll be
style.
There'll be a dream battle eventually. Yeah. Don't worry. Don't worry. So give me a roll and add six to it, and then that'll be our...
17.
Ooh, 17 plus six. 23. Twice. Okay. That is an excellent effort. That would put you on the par of like formidable.
So it's one of those things of I don't know if anybody's actually looking in. Like it's not a, it's a defensive thing. So
that being said, I want to know, were you looking at?
Probably not. No, she probably thinks she's the only one around
damn,
here.
Sorry. So you put up this barrier.
And I think she's...
We as the audience see someone who didn't disappear when she waved her hand to make all of the people watching this child disappear. And but we cut back inside the bubble. Pashmina has no idea.
There is a protective bubble, though.
There is a protective bubble, and it is a formidable protective
Great.
Bubble.
Great. What's your mother's name?
My mother? Hatice. I'm Sabri. We live at 37 Melvin Avenue.
Okay. Well, you might hear a couple of people knock on your door. Make sure they say the word... Pumpernickel before that you open the door. Pumpernickel.
Make sure they say pumpernickel before they open the door.
What's before you open. There's this really kind of rich bread that
they're already not paying attention to you.
Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Shattered Sky. If you would like to help us in creating the lore, the world, the setting of this game, then head over to shatteredskyrpg.com for more information. There you'll also find more information about the system and the setting, including our sweet, sweet wiki, as well as direct links to all of the socials for the performers. The Professor was played by Marcus Mays. Find him on Twitter at bestkindaworst. Pashmina Myron was played by Claudia Jacob. Find her on Twitter at Jackie Dash, J-A-K-I-D-A-S-H. V was played by Steph. Find her on Twitter at Sour Fruit Junkie. Pretty Baby was played by Nathan Kiss. Find him on Twitter at What Is Kiss. Your GM was myself, Lauren Bond. Find me on Twitter at Random Tuesday. Original music was created by the Multinational Synth Corporation. Find Scotland on Twitter at Level23. That's the number 2 and the word 3. Original art was created by Steph and Javier Beltran. Find Javier at jpbeltran.com. The RPG system was Cypher System from Monte Cook Games. Find them at montecookgames.com. Till next time, dreamers.
Up the tempo.
Day, I hope somebody Muppets me so I could be a piano Claudia.
I wanted to get a dog up in there, but not put the head through there, just put the dog arms through there, and you have dog arms.
So I'm a human with dog arms?
Yeah. Okay. And then the dog arms try to do dog things and feed you food.
I like that you pulled it, Noah.
Yeah.
You remember when Noah said
from
that?
From the Ark?
Yeah, he was like, I want to put a dog up there.
Yeah.